paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today or maybe you're feeling a little shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com. You know, we're talking about eyes, and it's the Hawaiian Eye Show, so it's easy to remember, eyes@hawaiianeye.com. We can answer those questions in coming weeks. You can also check out our website while you're there online, www.hawaiianeye.com. And look for us on Facebook, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center, or follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-O-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, no spaces. So during the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. We'll do an eye quiz sometimes to test your IQ, and we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. Now, we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, since I can't see through the telephone, I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. Hawaiian Eye Center does sponsor our program today as a public service, so sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, I just recently saw the results of some radio listenership surveys, and I found that the Hawaiian Eye Show is a quite popular show on a Saturday morning. As a matter of fact, we're the most popular hour all day Saturday on this radio station, which is good news for us and for our listeners. And so I want to say thanks to all you people out there who have been listening regularly and who enjoy our program. And you hopefully you continue to tell your friends about us and listen some more. We try to share information that's useful to people out there. The Hawaiian Eye Show has actually been in existence for over 30 years in various places and times. And so some people may have listened when Dr. Corboy used to do the show 15 years ago or more. And he started it probably almost 35 years ago. And we've continued the program, and it's I think a pretty good program that we get out some interesting information, but we also enhance the educational information that we get out to people by being available on all kinds of different online social media places. And so you can find us on Facebook, Hawaiian Eye Center, and find out some of the interesting new things that are going on in the world of eyes and at Hawaiian Eye Center. And you can follow me on Twitter, see what kinds of things we're tweeting about. Look for Dr. Tortora there. And then the other thing that we've started fairly recently is our Pinterest pages. We have a few pages. We have a page on cataracts and a page on dry eyes and a couple of different things that you can information and nice pictures about some things that we pulled from other sites around the internet, put them all in one place, and gotten some interesting information for you there. So a lot of social media online presence also for Hawaiian Eye Center. So if you do have things that you want to learn about, there are ample opportunities to get more information about the eyes. Now, as in keeping in that vein of being in a public service mode, I want to talk a little bit about some of the issues associated with New Year's celebrations that can be a threat to your eyes. Traditionally here in Hawaii, New Year's is the time when we pop all kinds of firecrackers, and also traditionally people have set off various other types of fireworks, whether they be aerial fireworks or bottle rockets or Roman candles or other types of fireworks, some of which, many of which now are illegal. But I don't think that that's going to stop the resourceful people of Hawaii to stop them from continuing to set off some of these fireworks. So we'll continue to issue our advisories, our warnings, our recommendations as far as safe use of fireworks. Of course, the safest use is to leave it to the professionals and let them manage their fireworks displays and don't deal with them yourself. But of course, a lot of people are going to, no matter what we say or what officials say or what the law says. And so for those of you who are going to be setting off fireworks of various types, keep these simple rules in mind. Fireworks are obviously explosive devices, and they have a lot of power impact if any of the portions of the firework are to explode near your face or near your hand each year. Unfortunately, particularly during the 4th of July, where fireworks celebrations are more common throughout the country, there are thousands of injuries, eye injuries and other types of injuries that people experience and run to emergency rooms during the holiday season for the 4th of July. Here in Hawaii, this tends to be more of an issue over the New Year's celebration because that's when people typically use more fireworks. So make sure that when you're setting off fireworks that you take appropriate precautions. It's a good idea to wear some kinds of safety glasses just in case something does blow up close to you, that your eyes are more protected. Keep it away from the young children. Young children can often have a strong desire to do fireworks or other things, but not really have the ability or the coordination to do it safely. So make sure that even things like sparklers, which can burn at very high temperatures, can cause serious burns and can cause problems. Also, the bright lights from the sparklers can temporarily blind you or make your vision worse if you're staring at them, and then make it less safe to walk around from there or to deal with other issues that are coming up around you when the environment is dark and your eyes are desensitized to the dark by looking at the bright sparklers. So just be a little cautious even when you're using something as simple as a sparkler. The bottle rockets are one of the biggest causes for eye injuries. What often will happen is that people will light the fuse, they'll wait for it to go off, it doesn't go off. They think, oh, there must be something wrong. They walk up to it, and that's the point when the fuse, which has kind of been sputtering, actually hits the gunpowder, and the rocket shoots up just as you're kind of bending over to look at it, and it goes up and hits you in the eye. And people have lost their eyes from bottle rocket injuries. This is not an uncommon injury, so this is something to be careful about. So any kinds of fireworks, be careful. Make sure you stand a good distance away after you light the fuse. And the other thing is that innocent bystanders often get hurt with fireworks. And you may be setting off the fireworks and you may be safe, but there may be someone standing nearby who doesn't realize what's happening and is walking right into danger. So be very careful of people around you. If you're setting off fireworks, make sure that there's an area that's clear around the area where the fireworks are being used to make sure that that's safe. My very first week, on call as an ophthalmologist, I had finished medical school and I had finished some general medical training and I hadn't done much eye training. And I was in New York and it was the 4th of July weekend and I had heard fireworks going off different places around me in the city. And I got a call from the emergency room, which was in an inner city area. And they said there was a young woman who had been standing watching some people playing with fireworks, and one of the large explosive fireworks, one of the M80 devices, had gone off near her face, and that she had sustained an eye injury. And so I had to go into the hospital to see her, and unfortunately she ended up losing her eye from that injury. And she was just sitting or leaning against a car or sitting on the back of a pickup truck or something and watching the fireworks display. And unfortunately, she was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. So just be careful if you're setting off these devices that you're not putting people around you in a position where they may be in trouble, particularly children who may not be able to really understand what's going on and may run closer to the fireworks rather than running away from them before they go off. And so that's always a danger you want to be careful of. Another thing that's kind of a hidden New Year's danger, which is a kind of an interesting one, has to do with flying champagne corks. So we have a little article here that says, ophthalmologists warn flying champagne corks can cause serious blinding eye injuries each year. It says warm bottles of champagne and improper cork removal techniques cause serious, potentially blinding eye injuries each year, according to the American Academy of Ophthalmology. Champagne corks contain pressure as high as 90 pounds per square inch, more than the pressure found inside a typical car tire. This pressure can launch a champagne cork at 50 miles per hour as it leaves the bottle, which is fast enough to shatter glass. Unfortunately, it's also fast enough to permanently damage an eyeball or damage vision. So what can you do to prevent champagne cork injuries? Well, you can chill sparkling wine and champagne to about 45 degrees Fahrenheit or colder before opening them. The cork of a warm bottle is more likely to pop unexpectedly and with more force. As the bottle warms up, the energy in the bubbles increases, and so that causes the cork to fly out at a higher rate, more force behind the cork. Don't shake the bottle. Well, most of us know that, who have opened a can of soda and have it spray all over us because it got shaken up. Shaking increases the speed with which the cork leads the bottle, thereby increasing your chances of severe eye injury. Point the bottle at a 45-degree angle away from yourself and any bystanders, and hold down the cork with the palm of your hand while removing the wire hood on the bottle. Place a towel over the entire top of the bottle and grasp the cork. Twist the bottle while holding the cork at a 45-degree angle to break the seal. Counter the force of the cork using downward pressure as the cork breaks free from the bottle. There is actually a video available for proper champagne cork removal at the American Academy of Ophthalmology's site. It's called www.getisemart.org. Getisemart.org. You can find out the proper way to open a champagne cork to avoid eye injuries. Let's take a short break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about some more eye news, and of course, we'll be ready to take your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Life has never looked better with Hawaiian Eye Center.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Can you see me now? Hawaiian eyes, can you see me lost?
All right, welcome back to the Hawaiian Eye Show. We are talking about eyes. If you have a question about eyes, you can give us a call. Our phone number here is 521-8383. If you'd like to call us toll-free, if you're calling from the neighbor islands, or perhaps you're listening to us on the iHeartRadio app from somewhere on the mainland, you'd like to give us a call toll-free. The phone number is 1-888-565-8383. So 521-8383, toll-free, 888-565-8383. 8383. We'd be happy to try to answer any questions that you might have about eyes and all of the things that can affect the eyes. We were talking a little bit about safe New Year's celebrations. Be careful with the fireworks. You know, this year I haven't heard a whole lot of preliminary fireworks. Usually you hear people setting off strings of firecrackers and other types of fireworks to setting off some aerials and other things approaching the New Year celebration, and I haven't heard much of that this year. So I wonder if that means there'll be fewer fireworks, or it just means that people have fewer, so they're saving them up. They're not using them all ahead of time. So that's something that'll be interesting to see. All right, we've got some news stories here. I have a story here about the Food and Drug Administration, a new plan to speed drug development. It says the Food and Drug Administration has issued guidance outlining how drug companies can select patients more likely to show a benefit from a studied drug and how companies can help improve the speed and efficiency of clinical trials. It says in the draft guidance published last week, the agency outlined specific examples of how drug developers can exclude poor potential candidates and select those that are most likely to show a clinical benefit. For instance, if a drug company is studying a lipid-lowering drug meant to reduce heart attack risk, it may choose diabetic patients because they're more likely to have heart attacks and show an effect from the drug. The Food and Drug Administration call these study designs enrichment strategies or enriched studies. These are potentially powerful strategies for the pharmaceutical industries because appropriate use of enrichment could result in smaller studies, shortened drug development times, and lower development costs, according to Bob Temple, MD, Deputy Director for Clinical Service Science in the FDA's Center for Drug Evaluation and Research. The 42-page guidance listed several examples of ways in which studies have been used to approve drugs already. In one example, the FDA noted that a drug called trastuzumab showed a significant survival of 5 months in metastatic breast cancers in patients with high tumors that expressed a certain type of, there's a certain marker that you can find on tumors. And they're about 25% of all breast cancer patients, but it showed less than 2 months survival improvements in patients overall. So it seemed like it was better in certain forms of the condition than others. So it says the strategy of focusing part of the trial on a specific population with the specific trait or the specific marker of the breast cancer ultimately supported use of that drug in that marker selected population despite the some other potential side effects. So the FDA is saying, you know, try to focus in on the people who are most likely to benefit from these drugs. So this is an interesting idea. And if you can approve drugs that are likely to be effective faster, that's certainly a beneficial result from this type of guidance. So we'll see whether that ends up being adopted or modified at all. It's just a proposal at the moment, and the Food and Drug Administration is looking for comments right now about whether that, mostly from doctors and people who are doing studies, pharmaceutical manufacturers and so forth, to see whether this this type of approach makes sense to the doctors in general. We have an article here about vision problems rising rapidly in the United States. It says here that diabetes and obesity epidemics may be fueling a dramatic rise in the number of people with vision problems, according to a new study. Rates of vision problems that can't be treated with glasses or contact lenses, known as non-refractive vision problems, increased by 21% between two survey periods from 1999 to 2002 and 2005 to 2008. The findings suggest that as many as 700,000 more people develop these types of vision problems in a relatively short amount of time. Non-refractive vision problems include problems like glaucoma, macular degeneration, cataracts, and diabetes-related eye disease. They are caused by underlying diseases. Many of these diseases are age-related and would not be expected to increase among young people. Diabetes, however, is occurring in younger and younger people. The increasing diabetes prevalence in the U.S. is leading to more vision loss, according to researcher David S. Friedman, MD, PhD. He is the director of the Dana Center for Preventative Ophthalmology at the Johns Hopkins Wilmer Eye Institute and Bloomberg School of Public Health in Baltimore. We have to recognize that this is a large public health problem so we can start developing methods to deal with it. These findings appear in the December 12th issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association. So they analyzed data from a large national database, and they looked at the years from 1999 to 2002, and again the years 2005 to 2008, and participants aged 20 years or older answered questions and underwent lab tests and physical exams. Those at most risk were older, poorer, and had less education, had diabetes for more than 10 years. The only one of these risks that increased between the two sub-surveys was a history of diabetes. Okay, so the risk factor of diabetes increased, which suggests that this diabetes was strongly related to this whole issue. It says the number of people who have had diabetes for more than 10 years has more than doubled in the past 6 or 7 years, according to Dr. Friedman. The new findings are just the tip of the iceberg. If current diabetes rates continue, we will see more and more people with diabetes and vision impairment as a result. Preventing diabetes in the first place is key to preserving vision, he says. This includes losing weight, if necessary, eating a healthier diet, and getting regular exercise. But he says, if you have diabetes, make sure to get your eyes checked, as this type of vision loss is preventable. Alan Carlson, MD, says it is not too early to say that the increase in vision problems is driven by diabetes. Diabetes is on the rise, and vision problems are on the rise, and patients with diabetes are more likely to have eye problems, but that's all they can say right now. He's the chief of the cornea and refractive surgery services at the Duke Eye Center in Durham, North Carolina. So eye problems associated with diabetes on the rise. Says the next quote here is, certainly people need to be aware of the risks of getting non-refractive vision impairment down the road, he says. If there's a family history of eye disease like macular degeneration, glaucoma, or diabetes, you should be seen more regularly by an eye doctor to make sure these diseases are caught earlier when they're much more treatable. So I've got a couple more quotes. A doctor called Roy Chuck, at the chairman of ophthalmology at Montefiore Medical Center in New York, he says the new findings make sense and mirror what he's seen in his practice. If you have diabetes and are at risk for other vision problems, you need to get checked out to see if your vision is changing. These findings should also serve as a wake-up call for teens and young adults who are at risk for diabetes. Things are not looking good for you if you're overweight, not eating right, and not getting exercise, he says. These non-refractive eye problems often strike older people, but diabetes is the great equalizer. In other words, if you have diabetes, you are much more like an older person, you know, in a sense, because you're at risk to develop these types of problems. So what types of problems do diabetes cause in the eyes? Does diabetes cause in the eyes, and what can we do about it? Fortunately, diabetes is one of the leading causes of preventable blindness. Fortunately or unfortunately, I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who are going blind from diabetes or losing their vision or having a visual impact from diabetes, but fortunately, it's preventable change or preventable damage if properly treated. And the treatment for diabetic eye disease, other than making sure that your general health is as good as possible, which is critical, which is very important, you need to make sure that the diabetes itself is under control. To get some, start getting some exercise, you need to watch your diet and take medications if necessary, and do other things that help to make the diabetes better controlled, and that'll help reduce the likelihood of eye-related injuries or eye-related problems. But if eye problems do develop, generally what happens is that the blood vessels inside the eye start to leak. Fluid and blood from the inside of the blood vessels starts to leak out of the blood vessels into the sensitive, delicate retinal nerve tissue. And this retinal nerve tissue is quite sensitive to any type of damage or anything that might impact it. And blood or fluid in that retinal tissue starts to damage and affect the function of the retinal tissue itself. So, for example, if the blood vessels start to leak, it may cause some swelling or some fluid accumulation in the back of the eye, and that could lead to some blurred vision. Or it could cause changes not directly in the central part of your vision, which may not cause any symptoms at all, and you may have significant changes inside the eyes related to the diabetes, changes that might benefit from treatment, but not see any particular symptoms, which is why it's critical to get in to get your eyes examined on a regular basis to determine whether diabetes is causing problems inside the eyes. You can't just assume because your vision is okay that you're not having any problems related to diabetes in the eye. If you have diabetes, you have to get your eyes checked. You know, I don't know how many times I've seen people who have come in and said, gee, you know, I was seeing fine until just a couple weeks ago, and then my vision started going bad. What's going on? And you look inside the back of the eye, and unfortunately, they have extensive diabetic eye disease, which now is either not treatable or very difficult to treat. So catching this early is critical. And if we catch diabetic eye disease early, and there are leaking blood vessels in the back of the eye, we can often use laser or other types of treatment to help stabilize those leaking blood vessels and prevent damage to the eye by treating at a point before it's caused significant damage or injury to the vision. And so that's why it's so important to find out early if diabetes is affecting the inside of the eye, because the earlier the treatment is initiated, the better the results are. Now, not everyone who has changes in the eyes from diabetes needs treatment. There are certain types of changes that we find, certain tests that we can do to determine whether you're at high risk for damage to the vision over time related to the diabetes. And if you are, then those are the people who should be treated with laser or with other types of treatments that we can do. Injections, other things can be done to address diabetic changes in the back of the eye. So get your eyes checked as the first step, at least once a year if you're diabetic. If the doctor recommends more frequently, of course, check more frequently. Most primary care doctors who take care of diabetes are now recommending that you see an eye specialist to make sure that the eyes are okay at least once a year. So that's good news that the primary care doctors are attuned to the idea that eye disease needs to be caught early and should be screened for on a regular basis. So once a year, if you're diabetic, check your eyes. We're going to take a short break to listen to the news, and we'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio 830 KHVH.
It's 64 degrees with a few clouds in Honolulu. I'm Julian Dennis. Here's what's happening. The fiscal cliff is turning into a fiscal cliffhanger. Senate leaders and their aides are cobbling together an agreement to avoid middle-class tax increases and possibly steep spending cuts. In his weekly radio and internet address, President Barack Obama pressed top lawmakers to cut a deal, even if it's not everything they want. In India's capital, mourners have been holding candlelight vigils in memory of the woman who died nearly 2 weeks after a gang rape and beating aboard a bus. The woman died at a hospital in Singapore. Six suspects in the attack are now charged with murder. Police have arrested a man after a double stabbing left a woman and the alleged stabber himself in serious condition last night in Waipahu. The incident began with a domestic dispute in a home on Kuakahi Street. Police say the man allegedly stabbed a woman with scissors, then stabbed himself. They were both transported to the hospital in serious condition. Attempted murder charges are pending. Hawaii Senators Daniel Akaka and Brian Schatz voted with the majority yesterday and supported a $60.4 billion disaster aid package. Most of the money will help recovery and rebuilding efforts for victims of Superstorm Sandy. $150 million will also be used for fisheries disasters, and $56.8 million will be given to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. That measure now goes to the House. Maui County residents will pay their final respects to the late Senator Daniel Inouye this morning. A memorial service begins at 10 a.m. at the Maui Arts and Cultural Center's Castle Theater. Island weather, high surf warning for north and west shores beginning at noon today. Sunny, high near 80. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 70. And tomorrow, sunny. Currently in Honolulu, 64.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong, was I unwise?
Okay, welcome back, and here we are in the second half of the Hawaiian Eye Show. If you have a question, now's a good time to give us a call. Our phone number here, 521-8383. If you're listening to us just before New Year's on Saturday morning, we're here live. Saturday evening, the program is rebroadcast, and you can check out the programs anytime on our website at hawaiianeye.com. Go to hawaiianeye.com, click on the radio show link, and you'll find not only previous radio shows for the past year or so, but you'll also find the opportunity to subscribe to our podcast. Get the radio shows as they are ready. You can upload them through to your favorite MP3 device through our podcast program. And so subscribe to our podcast, check out old radio shows, or find out more about iCare at HawaiianEye.com. You can also find out what we're doing or what's going on at Hawaiian Eye Center at the Facebook page, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center, or follow me on Twitter. We're tweeting as we speak here on the radio program, twitter.com/Dr. Tortora. Find out about some of the different stories that we've been talking about today, news stories and so on. So give us a call, 521-8383, or if you're calling for the neighbor islands and you want to call toll-free, it's 1-888-565-8383. We were talking a little bit about diabetes and how it can affect the eyes, and that is one of the main things that as ophthalmologists we have to deal with, and it is something that if we take good care of ourselves, we can reduce the impact of diabetes on the eyes at least. But it is something that I think we're going to have to deal with more and more. Also, as our population ages, the likelihood is that the incidence of different types of eye diseases will become more common. Also, the incidence of different types of other medical conditions associated with age will become more common as well. Okay, so let's go to the phones. We've got Karen standing by in Honolulu. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. Okay, I have a fast question. I fell, injured my neck recently, which causes when I'm in pain, my blood pressure goes up. Can it cause the pressure in your eye to go up?
Okay, blood pressure and eye pressure are not directly related, so there's actually nothing that would be, that if the blood pressure goes up, it means that your eye pressure necessarily is increased. However, many people who have high eye pressure or glaucoma also have high blood pressure, although there's not a known direct link between them. There is a common association. So when your blood pressure goes up, it does not mean that your eye pressure goes up. Things that make your eye pressure go up tend to be things like hanging upside down, straining, where you're increasing the pressure inside your abdomen. That increases the pressure inside the eye as well. Sleeping sometimes early in the morning, the pressure is higher than it is late at while you're awake. But you don't really have to worry about increased eye pressure unless you have a problem with pressure or glaucoma. Do you have a problem with glaucoma?
Yeah, I have high pressure.
Okay.
But it's only in one eye. And I noticed since I fell, you know, it's in my neck. And then I have TMJ, so I was wondering if that would affect my eye also.
Well, TMJ is the joint that opens and closes your jaw, and that's not related to the eye, so there's no real connection between that and the eye, so that should not have an effect now.
Then I have one more question.
Sure.
Nobody can answer. Since I whipped my neck recently, I noticed these auras in both eyes, and it seems to be connected to my neck or maybe my jaw. I'm not sure, but it's like little balls of light that run around the peripheral vision.
Is this constant, or does this come and go?
Comes and goes.
So when it comes, how long does it usually last?
About 3 or 4 seconds.
And then goes away again?
Mm-hmm.
And then you might see it again how long after that?
It doesn't come often, but it's usually in the mornings. And then it stopped. It was in the glaucoma eye, then it stopped when my neck got better and everything got better. Then when I fell again, it started in both eyes. And I've had my eyes checked, and nobody can seem to understand what I'm talking about.
All right. Well, there are a number of things that cause the sensation of lights in your vision. The most common thing is pressure on the retina. The retina is the seeing tissue in the back of the eye. And as we, as anything would push or pull or tug or press on the retina, you might see a little flash of light. It may look like a little ball of light or some other change. We call that a phosphene. It's a little stimulation of the retina that causes a sensation of light of some type, and it lasts just a few seconds. Other types of things that cause light phenomena in your vision are things like migraines, but those tend to last 15 or 20 minutes and then go away. So my guess is what's probably happening in your eye is that something has changed inside the eye, which the gel that fills the inside of the eye, called the vitreous gel, is separating or pulling away from the back of the eye. It could be related to a fall. Certainly you could have jarred something inside your eye if you hit your head, or if you hit your eye, that could have jarred something inside the eye that pulled that vitreous gel away from the retina a little bit. And in doing so, as that gel started to tug away from the retina, then it continued to pull or tug a little bit on the retina. Or perhaps as you move your eyes or rub your eyes first thing in the morning or look around, the gel in the eye shifts from one side to the other and puts a little pressure on the retina. And as it kind of gently bumps into that retina tissue, it causes a little flash of light. So the danger of this is that if that vitreous gel continues to pull on the retina and tugs a little hole in it or creates a little tear in it, that can cause a more serious problem called a retinal detachment. At this point, if you've had a complete eye examination and they dilated your pupils and looked in the back of the eyes, it's unlikely that that's a problem if they took a good look. But if your symptoms persist or if they change or worsen, you ought to go back to get checked again. So that would be my advice. If you get more if you see floating spots in your vision or see the flashes seem to become more frequent or more pronounced or some other change in your vision, a shadow or cloudiness in your vision, then those would be reasons to get an immediate eye checkup again.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
So that's my guess on how that, I can't say for sure, but that's my guess on what's happening on that.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Happy New Year.
You too. All right, so the inside of the eye is filled with a kind of a thick, sticky material. We call that the vitreous gel. That vitreous gel goes through changes as we get older. And a lot of people, as they get older, are plagued with what they call floaters. Floaters are a little bit of debris or material inside the eye that floats around in your vision. And as it moves around or as it floats around, sometimes it seems to block the vision. Sometimes it causes significant discomfort to people who have floaters because it seems to get in the way and block their vision, bother their vision. They see, you know, I've got these floaters. It's really annoying. It's, you know, it's right in front of my vision. And so the question is, you know, where do these floaters come from? And it actually turns out that as we get older, that vitreous gel that fills the inside of the eye does change. It becomes softer. It becomes more liquid. And as it becomes liquid, it collapses a little bit. It pulls away from the back of the eye. And in the areas where it pulls away from the back of the eye, often there are little opacities, little cloudy areas that form in that gel. You think about it, like if you take a piece of tape off of something that has been stuck to, sometimes the tape leaves a little residue behind. And something similar happens where that vitreous gel pulls away from where it's been stuck to the back of the eye, and there's a little opacity, a little cloudy area there that remains inside that vitreous gel. And so as a result, what happens is that you see an object, a little something, little material that seems to float around inside your vision. And floaters can take the form of spots or dots or lines or webs or squiggles or irregular shapes or regular shapes. And they can look really like anything, and different people describe floaters in different ways, but they can be quite annoying. The difficult part to tell people is that there's really nothing you can do about floaters, that they may not be doing any harm to your eye or to your vision, but we can't really do anything to get rid of it. And so people are reassured that that it's not doing any harm to their vision once we examine them and make sure that it's not, but they are disappointed that there's not anything that we can really do about it, nothing to make a floater go away. The good news that is over time, 95% of the floaters do tend to get better. People notice that over 6 months or a year, they notice them less, and they become less obvious, less bothersome. So floaters do tend to get better with time. The trouble with floaters is that when they occur, they do mean that something is changing inside the eye. So if you do develop a floater, it is important to get your eyes checked to make sure that there isn't something inside the eye that the floater is signaling a problem with. As these floaters develop, as the gel pulls away from the back of the eye, as I was telling the last caller, sometimes that creates a little hole or a tear in the retina. And that hole or tear in the retina is a good little opening for fluid to get underneath the retina, causing a separation between the retina and the surrounding tissue. This is called a detachment of the retina, retinal detachment, which can lead to serious vision loss if it's not treated promptly. And so if you see new floaters or if you see flashes of light particularly associated with floaters, then that is a reason to get your eyes checked as quickly as you can get an appointment. It's not something that you want to wait on and put off. Well, most of the time it will turn out that things are just fine and that there's nothing to worry about. But once in a while, it'll be a sign of something that really is a cause for concern and that needs to be treated promptly in order to prevent more problems down the road. And in many cases, if there is an early retinal detachment or a retinal tear or a hole, this can be treated with a laser quickly and fairly easily. If it becomes more advanced and a retinal detachment occurs, this often requires surgery to correct it. And once that retinal detachment becomes too large, it often becomes difficult to repair. And even despite repair or treatment with surgery, the vision does not return to normal. So treating a retinal detachment early or a retinal tear is important in preventing long-term difficulties with the vision in people who have this problem. So if you see new flashes, new floaters, especially association of floaters and flashes together, it is a good idea to get a complete eye examination with dilation of the pupils to make sure that everything's okay. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, we'll talk about a little more eye news, and we'll take your calls.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Okay, welcome back. And if you have hungry eyes, you may want to give us a call and find out what's causing it. You can give us a call at 521-8383 if you're listening to us on Saturday morning. We're coming to you live, and we do like to take phone calls and answer your questions if you do have something that you'd like to ask us about. We do have a few news stories that we've been talking about. Got an article here about the effect of the new multiple sclerosis testing that the eyes can actually help us with certain forms of testing for multiple sclerosis or MS. It says active MS is associated with rapid thinning of part of the retina, and it says the retinal region measured by a technique known as optical coherence tomography is thinned more rapidly in patients with an early stage of disease. So this is active multiple sclerosis. According to Peter Calabresi, MD of Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, and his colleagues, the retinal region measured by the OCT, or optical coherence tomography, may be thinned, as I said, and that means that it's something that may be used as a diagnostic tool. So it says in the article, the finding may allow better testing of potential neuroprotective treatment. So maybe a way to actually test for effectiveness of treatment for MS or multiple sclerosis. It says as more therapies are developed to slow the progression of MS, testing retinal thickness in the eyes may be helpful in evaluating how effective those therapies are, he said. Indeed, while the findings still need replication, they at face value provide some interesting data that may help to optimize the future design of clinical trials using retinal thinning as an outcome measure, according to Robert Bermel, MD of the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio. In an accompanying editorial, Dr. Bermel noted that current therapies aimed at modulating the immune system to prevent inflammation offer indirect neuroprotection. So these are drugs that we're trying to use to protect the nerve that it may be affected by the multiple sclerosis. And so if the nerve is affected, then and the nerve is protected, then we may see that by changes in the eye not occurring as quickly, right? So they're looking at this as a way of testing these drugs. So they said primary neuroprotective treatments would target degenerative mechanisms that are not inflammatory, so that current methods of evaluating efficacy, which is relapses of the disease and looking at the MRI scans, would be of little use. As therapeutics are developed to address those mechanisms, he concluded, ganglion cell analysis by optical coherence tomography in the eye may play a key role in measuring their efficacy. Calabresi and colleagues enrolled 164 patients with MS and 59 healthy controls who underwent this OCT scanning every 6 months for a mean follow-up of 21 months. They also had baseline and annual contrast-enhanced brain MRIs, and patients who developed optic neuritis during the follow-up were excluded from the analysis. So optic neuritis is one manifestation of multiple sclerosis that can probably skew the results of this type of testing. The researchers reported faster rates of thinning in patients who had relapses. They lost thickness 42% faster than those who did not relapse. So that was an interesting finding, that these changes inside the eye may actually be an indicator for multiple sclerosis and some of the associated changes in the nerves may be related or may be manifest by looking at changes in the nerves inside the eye. So this is another way that our eyes, in a sense, can be windows to the soul. When people say that, this is a literary reference, the eyes are windows to the soul. But in fact, when we look in your eyes, we can figure out a number of things about the health of the body as a whole. And the reason for that is that looking in the eyes gives us the opportunity to look at certain things that you can't see in other parts of the body. You know, the eye is an optically clear structure. We can visually inspect structures inside the eye. And we can actually look at the small blood vessels inside the eye, which are typical or similar to blood vessels that occur in other parts of the body, places like the kidneys and the extremities, the legs and hands and feet. And these small blood vessels, if we see disease in the retina in the back of the eye, we suspect that these small blood vessels are being affected in other parts of the body as well. And so in diabetes in particular, where we see small blood vessel damage, or in high blood pressure, we see damage to these blood vessels in the back of the eye, we can figure that this is probably causing problems elsewhere. So sometimes high blood pressure or the effects of high blood pressure can be assessed to some degree by looking at the eye. Sometimes diabetes appears by showing changes in the eyes when we do an eye examination in someone who didn't know they had diabetes. And sometimes we can see other types of changes in the back of the eye that lead us to other conclusions about the health, particularly in vascular problems where, for example, if there are little pieces of cholesterol stuck in the blood vessels in the back of the eye, this suggests that you may have a risk for a stroke. For example, the reason for that is that if there are little bits of cholesterol coming off the walls of your blood vessels, particularly in the arteries in your neck, and ending up in the little arteries in the eye, they could also be ending up in the little arteries in the brain, which could cut off the flow of blood to parts of the brain where there could be where it could cause a stroke. A stroke is decreased blood flow to the brain or certain part of the brain, and if the blood flow is cut off by a small bit of material from the edge of a blood vessel, what we call a plaque, going through the blood circulation and cutting off the blood flow to everything past where it gets stuck, it acts as a little dam that reduces the blood flow to certain parts of the brain beyond where the blood vessel is blocked, then that causes a stroke. So if we see changes in the blood vessels in the eyes that lead us to think that there may be little bit plaques, little cholesterol fragments coming off the edges of the blood vessel, and they could cause problems in other parts of the body, then we can often treat the patients accordingly to make sure that this is less likely to cause a problem inside the rest of the body. So in a sense, we can learn a lot about the health of the eyes by looking carefully at the back of the eye, at the blood vessels. And now this new study suggests that also by looking at some of the features of the nerves that leave the eye, the optic nerve is made up of millions of fibers, of nerve fibers that come from the retina, the sensitive retina tissue that allows us to see. And this retina tissue sees light and it converts it into an electrical impulse, which is then transmitted to the brain through a thin nerve fiber that then finds its way to the optic nerve. And the optic nerve is a large bundle of nerve fibers that then gets from the back of the eye to the brain and then makes its way back to the back of the brain. And so if there are abnormalities in the nerve fibers in the back of the eye, this could represent something that's going on in the nerves throughout the body. And in this case, it looks like this does show, it can show a higher risk for multiple sclerosis or progression of multiple sclerosis. And also, sometimes we can pick up evidence of strokes or other types of problems because those nerves that originate in the eyes and go back to the brain end up actually not functioning as well in a certain part of the brain. And so you end up with cut in the peripheral vision, and the visual field becomes weaker because of a stroke or damage to part of the brain material where these nerves are passing through. And so if you lose part of your peripheral vision, often that's because there's been a stroke or a cutoff in blood flow to a part of the brain. And sometimes if there's an early stroke that just affects your peripheral vision, this can also be a warning that you may be at higher risk to develop a stroke down the road. So, of course, this is also something that would lead us to perhaps treat people a little bit differently or give them medications that might help reduce the risk of a stroke down the road. So often people don't come into the office and say, well, I've lost part of my side vision. I've lost my peripheral vision. Sometimes they come in complaining of other types of problems, but we generally do a screening test where we'll test the peripheral vision in the office just by, you know, sort of holding up our fingers and saying, you know, if you keep looking straight ahead, can you see my fingers out to the side here? Can you see my fingers moving? So forth. And this tests their peripheral vision. And if we do find a defect, we can test that more formally using certain instruments that allow us to more easily test the peripheral vision or the visual field. And if people have abnormalities there in their visual field, then that certainly is something that then needs to be evaluated further to find out how come they have these abnormalities. Did they have a stroke that no one knew about? Or maybe they had a stroke that someone knew about and that caused the visual field change. But sometimes they could be subclinical, meaning they don't manifest themselves with any particular symptoms. But a stroke has occurred, and if once one stroke occurs, there is a significant risk that additional strokes could occur. So that's another way that examining the eyes can give you clues about your overall health. So some people say, just because I'm having an eye exam, I don't have to have my regular health, go to my regular doctor, right? Because you can find out if anything's wrong just by looking at the eye, and that's wrong. We can't find out if everything is wrong just by looking at the eye, so it's not foolproof, but sometimes it helps. All right, we've been here for an hour now talking about eyes and eye care, and I've certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to say thanks to all you listeners for making the show work through your calls and through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us. And if you learned something new, you can always listen again next week. If you have a question, email it to us. Our email address is eyes@HawaiianEye.com. We can answer the questions over the air. Subscribe to our podcast or listen to old radio shows at HawaiianEye.com. Next week, we're going to have Dr. Stephen Ree doing the radio program, so listen for a different perspective. You can see what he has to say. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. Thanks so much for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to The Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery And now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Glenn Beck.
Sending you a message.
Weekdays at 4.
It's all going to be good.
KHVH Honolulu.
I'm here.
Hawaii's home for Fox News.